I don't know if y'all can read this on me, but I'm incredibly grateful, and I'm really, really nervous to be here, but I never thought that this would happen. And this right here, this is just me, okay? Yeah, this is a version of me that I've never got to introduce to you guys before. This is just me being me, genuine me for the first time. And I got to a point where I thought that everything that I'd ever done here or otherwise, I thought it was all meaningless. Nothing I ever did has mattered to anyone. And I was wrong. I was wrong. I can sit here right now today and I can look all of you in the eyes and I can say that you were there when I was weak, when I was vulnerable, when I was down. So I just wanted to say thank you. You all saved my life. You wouldn't let me alone. Every time I tried to run away and hide, you were there to find me. When I left things behind, you found them. You chased me. You are the reason.
Hey folks, it's BC back once again after a bit of a layoff. I do apologize for that. I was on vacation last week, and although I was going to try to do an episode with what happened over that week and the sad news that took place, I just wasn't really honestly in the mood for wrestling. Didn't really feel like recording anything. I didn't want to seem like I was jumping on the bandwagon of tons of tributes and stuff like that. I just wanted to let it pass by and process and, you know, let others that knew these characters of Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt take the lead and really put out some good material. So that's what I did. But I am back. And, you know, this episode is I'm going to touch on Bray Wyatt in this episode. If you're wondering my thoughts on the loss of Terry Funk, I actually have just released an episode on YouTube just in memory of Terry Funk, more so focusing on his impact through the 80s, because that's where I really got introduced to Terry Funk and became a real fan of that personality. So if you want to check it out and hear my thoughts on Terry Funk, head on over to Wrestling with the 80s over on YouTube and check out the video. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. And if you're not already a subscriber to the channel, feel free to hit that subscribe button and join me on my quest to talk about the 80s as much as possible from a wrestling perspective. But I figured for this audio podcast, because this focuses more on the modern product, that I talk about Bray Wyatt. Now, I will readily admit I'm not a Bray Wyatt expert. I'm not the biggest Bray Wyatt fan in the world. There's many people that were way more into him and his characters than me, and they've done a better job of talking about him. From a fan's perspective, I would encourage you to go on over to Terrible Wrestling Takes with Bishop, who's been a guest on this show, and listen to what he has to say about his experiences with Bray Wyatt and how this affected him and hit him, because it's just a fantastic episode, and especially from a fan's perspective. I'm also not in the business. I'm not in the wrestling business. I don't have an association with Wyndham Rotunda and the Rotunda family, and I shouldn't be talking about it from a perspective like I am in the business or I'm an expert or anything. I'm just a massive fan of wrestling, especially older school wrestling, but I do enjoy the modern product for the most part. And, you know, Bray Wyatt, the character, was something that was so refreshing when he came into my wrestling fandom. And I just became a huge fan of Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. Right from the get-go, I first remember seeing him when FCW converted to NXT and they started showing NXT on TV, and just seeing this character right off the get-go. Myself being an old-school fan and being a big fan of the Danny Spivey character of Waylon Mercy, I certainly got some you know, similarities to Waylon Mercy, but I felt like Bray Wyatt encompasses character of what Waylon Mercy could have been. And he took it and he ran with it. And I thought just everything behind it, this spooky, psychopathic, swamp dweller, you know, family cult leader, Harper and Rowan, it was just an amazing combination. And it just brought something different to wrestling. And it reminded me of you know, maybe not even as much as Waylon Mercy, but it reminded me of like Kevin Sullivan and his family and just the dark family, but even more dark than Kevin Sullivan in one way, but without the devil worship or anything. It was just more so the psychology behind what Bray Wyatt did. And I remember even when Bray Wyatt was part of the original NXT game show, forever, whatever you want to call it, when he was Husky Harris and he was part of the Nexus, I thought like he was a interesting character even back then. He didn't look like the typical, you know, six pack having, you know, ripped guy. He looked like a tough dude that, and I love the moniker of what was it, the Ferrari engine in a tank body or whatever the heck it was that it was called. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering it right now, but I don't think that's the important part about this. And so I became a fan of him at that point. But once I saw him as Bray Wyatt, I just absolutely loved this character. And the entire Wyatt family, like I loved Luke Harper's character in the Wyatt family. I thought they were so good together. And then of course, Rowan was just different as well, but it was just, they were spooky. They looked scary. They looked threatening. They looked like they could beat you up. They looked like they could drag you away to the woods somewheres. And that's what you want in a heel group, is that believability, as far as that this group is going to cause some destruction and it's going to cause a lot of problems for your baby faces. And that's certainly what they brought to the table. So they were a breath of fresh air. They were fantastic down in NXT. I knew they were going to be up on the main roster pretty quickly because they were just miles ahead of everybody else down there. And sure enough, they did come up pretty quickly. And for the first little while on the main roster, they did a decent job with them. I love their feud with the Shield. And I mean, I'm not going to be able to, again, rhyme off every single feud and match that he had or the Wyatt family had, but just moments that stick in my mind, you know, in the feud with the Shield, Bray's match at WrestleMania with John Cena back in WrestleMania 30, which I think, you know, when I talk about Bray Wyatt, all I can think of is the amount of balls that were dropped with this character and the Wyatt family, between losses that Bray took when he should have won, the splitting up of the group and really stopping the momentum of that group, the other people that they put in the group, like Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, all these different things. There's just so many balls dropped over the course of their run, yet he still remained this iconic character and this favorite of the fans and as a heel. And there was a couple of WrestleManias where he could have really been cemented as one of the dominant characters in WWE for a decade if he had just gotten that win over John Cena at WrestleMania 30, and if he had gotten put over by The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31. I think those were two massive times that they could have ran with that character and really made him something special. I hate it when they broke up the Wyatt family. I thought they were just awesome together. Although I was a fan of what Luke Harper did as a singles wrestler, you know, winning the Intercontinental title, just going out to prove that he was just an absolute machine out there in the ring. But it just seemed like there was just that one little bit missing thing that just when they brought them all together, even when they brought in Braun Strowman, at first I wasn't happy with that, but eventually I did enjoy Braun Strowman in that group because, again, he looked like them. He looked like some guy from the woods or the swamplands of Florida, the Everglades, or whatever you want to call it. And he fit in with that group, and he brought a new dynamic to them, more so than a Daniel Bryan or a Randy Orton would have done. You know, once again, it seems like WrestleMania was his kryptonite for things. You think of WrestleMania 32 when the whole family confronted The Rock and basically got buried by The Rock in like no time. I mean, it was always frustrations with me is like, why are they not committing to this character? He should be your new Undertaker. He really should have been. And it just didn't seem to go that way. He's a character that, you know, won the world championship, but didn't need to. He's a type of character that didn't need a championship, even as Bray Wyatt. And then eventually, after he left and came back, and he came back as the, you know, the Fiend, again, a character that they put a world title on, and there was no need for it, because literally he is the world title. It's just like The Undertaker. He had very few runs with the world title because he didn't need that. He was his own character, and beating him was like winning a title. And that's the level I felt like Bray Wyatt was getting to. And then, of course, with the Fiend character, I thought that was a level that character was at, too. Interestingly enough, I wasn't the biggest fan of the Fiend character. I mean, I really enjoyed the Firefly Funhouse and the Fiend when it first happened. I thought this is really unique. I thought this is like something we'd never seen before. I felt like, you know, it was almost like an answer to the whole Matt Hardy stuff that was going on with his crazy character and stuff like that. But again, it was something different. And you could tell, again, it's just this guy had a different mind for the business. He wanted to take it places. He wanted to take it to a level of a horror film and things like that. And he wanted to make these characters that were, number one, unforgettable, but also just these different expressions of his personalities and his broken personality that was going on. And you really had to think with these characters and in order to get where he's going with them. And a lot of people did. For me, I've always preferred the swamp monster of Bray Wyatt, the cult leader. I thought he could go so far with that and just constantly playing on the mind games of his opponents and just with that family that just was like just a specter over everything. But I got what he was doing with the Fiend. But in the end, that just didn't seem to go anywhere. It seemed like at first he was unstoppable, and then all of a sudden, you get to WrestleMania again, and he's confronting Cena, and he's losing to Goldberg, and all these different things, and just once again they just decided not to go the right direction with him and weakened him, and even his title reign seemed weak. And to me, it just seemed like the title was weird on him. Like immediately, as soon as you put the title on him, you know that he's got to lose it at some point. It just, it didn't seem necessary. And so when he got released, that was pretty devastating, because not from a sadness, like, you know, you feel, oh, this poor guy or anything like this. More so, it's like, man, they had something with this character. And again, they dropped the ball. And I was just hoping he would go somewhere, like say an Impact, where he could be set free to do whatever the heck he wanted and do some crazy stuff as far as vignettes and character work and stuff like that. But it turns out that he ended up coming back to the WWE. And what an event that was. Like all the lead up to with the QR codes and the White Rabbit with Jefferson Airplane and all that stuff and the excitement around, is he or isn't he coming back? Is it Bray Wyatt? Do we know? Whatever. And it was so, it was a moment when he actually did show up at Extreme Rules. And I mean, he didn't wrestle. He just came out and with that lantern through the door and stuff like that. It was just amazing. It was just an amazing moment. And we didn't know where they were going with that character. You were getting to see the quote unquote real Wyndham Rotunda or the real Bray Wyatt in that character at times, and you had the Uncle Howdy stuff and the teases to the Wyndham Six or the whatever you're going to see. But we never eventually got anything out of it, and I sometimes wonder if we'll ever find out who you know, Uncle Howdy was, but obviously what they're talking about was it was supposed to be Bo Dallas, his brother, and he was going to get a chance to work with his brother, which, you know, I feel for Bo in that case. Not only did he lose his brother, but he lost an opportunity to, you know, have a historic run with his brother, which I'm sure every family dreams of getting that opportunity to be on top of the wrestling world with your sibling, you know, or your parent or whoever. But after he had his encounter with LA Knight at Royal Rumble, you wonder what was next. And we didn't get much more after that. And we found out why now, but part of why I don't want to say this is just like a tribute to Bray Wyatt or whatever is because out of this comes some frustration as well, not just for the use of the Bray Wyatt character, but just wrestling in general, wrestling journalism, wrestling fans, because I think of how much speculation there was about Bray Wyatt and why he wasn't around. And was it because he was hard to work with, or was it because, you know, he didn't like the creative that he was given, or was it, you know, mental health problems and all this stuff? And we heard so many of these, I'm going to say it, these piece of shit wrestling, quote unquote, journalism sites that put all this stuff out there about this guy without knowing, just to get clicks and just to get ratings or whatever the heck, or followers and stuff like that. And it turns out the man was dealing with a life-threatening illness. He was dealing with heart issues. He dealt with COVID. He dealt with the ramifications of COVID. I'm sure there's going to be speculation about what happened around that, but we won't go there at this point. But more so than that, you had a family man that now, I know I'm all over the place, folks, and I'm sorry about this, but this is just off the top of my head. But WWE just over the last couple of days released a 35-minute video on YouTube where they gave the wrestlers a chance to talk about Bray Wyatt. And from the sounds of it, he was just an amazing, amazing person, an amazing family man who loved his kids. And when I think about, you know, these tributes and stuff like that and all the people talk about, the thing that's maybe because I'm a dad, I feel so much for his kids, you know, young children that are losing a father at the age of 36 and won't get to grow up with this, from what everybody's saying is this amazing father who loved them so much. And that's heartbreaking, to be honest with you. I know his fans have lost him. His wife has lost him and his family has, but I feel for those kids, to be honest, in any of these situations. And it's interesting. I was talking, with Bishop, and I said, this is something that the new generation of wrestling fans haven't had to deal with for the most part. Ironically, they dealt with it with Luke Harper, Brody Lee. I mean, they lost him young in while he was still going on his career. But back in the 90s as a wrestling fan, the 80s, you were losing wrestlers all the time, your favorite wrestlers in the prime of their lives and stuff like that, from either drug use or steroid abuse or, you know, whatever, automobile accidents and plane crashes. And it hurts. It hurt a lot to have somebody struck down in their prime of their life. But thankfully, you know, it's not the same lifestyle now as it was back in the day. So we're not hearing about that as often as we used to in the past. But this is really this generation's loss of a generational superstar. And I'm sure it hurts for a lot of fans. But again, it hits hard because of that. But it hits hard for me just knowing that there's children that lost a great father and stuff like that. But sorry, I kind of went off on the rails there. But what I was talking about with the whole thing behind the journalists, quote unquote journalists, and those toxic fans, the toxic IWC that just complain about everything and complain about wrestlers and put this garbage out there about wrestlers and talk about, oh, they're hard to work with, or it's the creative, or it's this or that or the other thing. And they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. They're going based off of these toxic journalists. And I hate calling them that, but these dirt sheets, whatever the heck you want to call it. I'm not putting Meltzer in that. I know people call Meltzer a dirt sheet, but he actually does have sources and he actually does confirm his sources and things like that. But I think of all the others that, you know, really should be out there giving an apology to the family of Bray Wyatt and to the fans of Bray Wyatt for all the stuff that they put out there about this man, you know, talking about how he was hard to work with or he was having mental health problems. The man was dealing with a heart issue, a life-threatening heart issue. And in the end, it cost him his life, which is very sad and very unfortunate for his family and his friends and his fans and stuff like that. But, you know, I hope this, I just wish it would lead to something with these toxic elements of the wrestling business. I've never seen a business that's so toxic as the wrestling business and a fan base that's so toxic. And I say fan base because these quote unquote journalists are not, they're not journalists. They don't have any journalism degree or anything like that. They're fans. They're super fans is what they are. They're bigger marks than we are as just this regular podcasters and stuff like that. But that's why I don't get on here and report quote unquote news about wrestlers. I'll talk about stuff that goes on, but because the news, it ain't news. It's just people just making their own stuff up to get clicks and stuff like that. And that's why I hate it. I wanted to wait even just to talk about Terry Funk, and I wanted to wait to talk about Bray Wyatt in case anything else came out about what happened or any other details came out from a legitimate source, because I didn't want to get on here and speculate and do all these things. I just wanted to get on and go based on facts. But the fact of the matter is that the wrestling world lost a very, very, very talented individual in his prime who could have went down in the history books as one of the greatest to do it based on his creative mindset. And it doesn't necessarily mean his work rate in the ring. I'm talking about his creativity, but just never really got that chance to fully blossom and to fully tell his story. And it's unfortunate like that. And I don't say that to now we'll just go and crap on Vince McMahon for holding this man down. It's not about that. It's just, I just don't think everybody got him and understood him and understood where he was going. I think maybe, you know, Triple H perhaps was given more of a chance because he was starting to understand it, but still, it's a long, drawn-out package with Bray Wyatt, and it had a lot of layers to it that needed to be unveiled. And, you know, it's Paul Heyman talks about the Bloodline storyline being basically in the third inning at this point. Well, I think Bray Wyatt was still in the first inning of his of his whole character progression and stuff like that, which is amazing to think about. But overall, you know, condolences to the family and friends and fans of Bray Wyatt, and especially a whole lot of positive light going out there to his children. And it's horrible that when a child suffers a loss of a parent. So all that, forget about the wrestling side of it, just, you know, the real life side of it. It's unfortunate, but overall, just as far as Bray Wyatt himself, you know, I'm not the super fan that some people are, but man, I loved the Bray Wyatt character. I really did. And I loved the Wyatt family even more so than, you know, the Funhouse or the Fiend or the returning Bray Wyatt. I just loved that Swamp character and that cult leader. And I wish they had gone so much farther with that group and that character. But you know what? I am glad that I got to see what I got to see, because it made wrestling during a period that was not exactly the most exciting time period to be a fan pretty fun and pretty interesting as far as what he and they brought to the table. So I'll end it on that. I'll say once again, condolences to the family and rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. And I hope you and Brody Lee are having a fantastic tag team match against, you know, Bruiser Brody and I don't know who else up there in heaven, but have a great one and, you know, be the beast that you are.